We're glad to be in the house of God to praise God. Amen. How many of you glad to be in the house of God tonight? How many of you came anticipating something tonight? Glory to God. Well, we're excited to see one another, all of you here tonight. Why don't you shake hands again with somebody, maybe somebody that you didn't before, and you can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. We're honored to be here at Rhema Bible Church to speak tonight. And those of you that are watching online, we are welcome you here tonight in the service and join right in. We believe for you to receive what you need where you're at tonight. And so we're excited about camp meeting coming up. Glory to God, it's going to be great. Isn't that right? Camp meeting can be a life-changing experience. My first camp meeting was in 1980. I know I don't look that old, but I was very young when I came. But that's all right. I was old enough to get out of the house, you know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But that was my first encounter or experience with Rhema. And just was impressed with everything and came back the next year. And by that time, I decided I want to go to school here. And so then the following year in 82 is when we came to be students at Rhema, and of course graduated in that famous 84 class. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But anyway, so we're excited to be here in camp meeting. Don't let it get by you. Don't be like what one of those people that Brother Sumrall talked about. He said some people have a knack for missing the blessings of God. That's what he said. And I decided years ago when I heard him say that, I said, I'm not going to be one of those people. I'm going to get myself up and I'm going to get myself down there to those meetings and whatever. I'm just going to soak it up. You know what I'm saying? I know I can hear God at the house, but there's something about getting in the atmosphere of faith, collective atmosphere of faith, corporate atmosphere of faith with the saints that just kind of stirs us up even further and actually makes it easier for us to really to receive and to get the direction that we might be seeking from the Lord. Amen? So don't let it pass by you. Let it be something that will be life-changing. Ask God to say something, do something in those services that will impact your life, and you'll come away from camp meeting never the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. I remember years ago, we were every year at the school where I went to, we had a Christmas play, and you know, that was back in the days when we had prayer in schools. We would have prayer over the lunch before we ate, and we had Pledge of Allegiance, you know, and if you didn't do just a certain way, you got in trouble for it, you know. I know that we were getting ready. I was one of the three shepherds in that Christmas pageant that year, and I don't know. I think you'll understand as I tell the story why I wasn't the shepherd again the next year, but. We went out on the stage at a certain time. And so as we knelt there by the baby Jesus and so forth, I had a direct view. I mean, I could look directly over there off the stage to the stage right. Would have been stage right over there. I was kind of facing this way and looking over that way. And there was the Christmas tree, and it had all the presents underneath it that the kids had exchanged names, and the gifts were there. And man, I'm sitting there wondering. I mean, we got a play to get through, but man, we got presents coming, and I'm excited about that. And I'm sitting there wondering what I'm going to be getting, and when are we going to get those? Come on, when are we going to get those? And I'm all caught up in that right there. And I didn't notice when the other two shepherds got up and left. And a little later, I realized it and jumped up and left, and I went running off the stage and into the, you know, behind the curtain, and guess who was there? It was our teacher, Mrs. Goodall, Mostly she wasn't good to me at all. Don't know why. Made me sit at the front of the rows of the, you know, in the class. So I thought it was a promotion at first. So anyway, she grabbed me angrily and shook me while she scolded me. You know, just all upset. But we got our presents later on that night. Amen. And I just got a couple questions to ask you tonight. What are you wanting to get from God? What have you asked God for? Have you wondered when you're going to get it? And so that's what I want to focus in on tonight. And I want you to think about what it is that you've asked God for. And secretly, maybe in your own bedroom, or you're at home someplace, or driving to, you know, to work, you're wondering, when is this going to happen? When, Lord? When? When can I receive what I've asked for? And you're not alone. There's lots of people like that. And I'm not talking about out there in the world someplace. I'm talking about in our camp, in church here tonight. You're not alone. Okay? So I hope to answer a couple of things for you. There is a certain mindset that you and I have to get in order to walk in freely in receiving the things of God. And so turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. We're going to begin there tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says this. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Then he goes on and says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so we see that Paul is writing, in writing this verse, quoted a verse out of the Old Testament referring to the times that he now is living in, and the people that are in the New Testament age, which would be what we are, that we are living in. And he's saying, identifying the times that we're living in. And that's something very important, because we have to, as we understand the day and the times that we're living in, it helps us to receive from God. The New English Bible says it this way in the latter part of that verse. It says, the hour of favor has now come. Now, I say, has the day of deliverance dawned. And so we have to realize then that we are living in a great day. In this verse, God reveals three truths to us. First of all, God hears us in an acceptable time. So many times, if I can stop and observe here, we fail to realize that this whole age is an acceptable time with Him. And we kind of go at it the way we think, or our moods, or whatever it might be. Sometimes when, have you ever approached your parents, or has one of your kids ever approached you, and it wasn't a good time? It wasn't an acceptable time to make a request. Had to come back some other time. And if we're not careful, we get that mentality with God. But God is not challenged by what you ask Him for. He is always in a receptive mood when His children come to the throne. So what if we've done something wrong? Get there as fast as you can. Doesn't take long. Don't run away. Run to God as fast as you can. If you do something wrong, you know it's outside the Word of God. You understand what I mean? You missed the mark. Just run to God real quickly. Get it under the blood. Amen? And so we have to realize then that God hears us in an acceptable time. The second truth is there is that God helps us in the day of salvation. I have to tell you that Jesus hanging on the cross made this whole age the day of salvation. When we talk about the day of salvation, we're talking about this whole age. Anytime somebody's ready to receive Christ, God is ready right there to help them receive Christ. God is not withholding and say, only on Sundays. No, he's not doing that. Any day. Look at your neighbor and say, any day. And so we have to realize God helps us in the day of salvation. The word salvation, again, is an inclusive word covering just more than just the salvation of our soul. Thank God it includes that. But it also includes, you know, health and healing, wholeness, safety and preservation and provision. And it's an all-inclusive word describing the benefits of our redemption. And so God helps us in the day of salvation. The third truth is this. Now is the time God will hear us and help us. Everybody say now. I hope to drill that word into you. Now. Say it again with me. Now. Say it again. Now. And I'm not talking about coming to God and being arrogant or asking out of line or anything like that. It's just you have to what I'm trying to get to you is this understanding that now is the time God would like for you to have what it is you need. Hallelujah. And so those are three powerful truths that can change the way you think about your receptivity with God. Now, anytime's okay. Problem comes up when we don't fail to do our best and we don't get things right like we need to, know we ought to, and we don't, we have a day where things don't go so well. I mean, it's just that we don't mean to miss the mark and sin or whatever it is. But there's times when you say something, or there's times when you think something, there's times when you do something and you wish you wouldn't have done it. Now, if not careful, because you see, as if you're not careful, what happens is this, that we think we have to be punished for a while before we can come to God again. And that God sentenced us to go sit in the corner. He said, you sit in the corner for a while and do without. I'll teach you not to do that again. Well, sometimes what we need to realize is that God is receptive to us all the time. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. He didn't put a time frame on that. He just said, let us come. And so, any day in this age, God is willing to hear and help us. Today is as good a day as any. Today. Everybody say today. Today. Now. Today is as good a day as any, as far as God is concerned. He'd just soon you have it today as some other day. Any time during this age is great for you to receive what Jesus paid for at the Calvary for. Healing. All kinds of things. See, we get into some people I've talked to and they reminisce about, I miss the time. And they talk about yesterday. But you can't go back and get it. It's out of reach. No matter how far back and how hard you try, you can't get it back. And I have some people that I meet and they're always talking about what's going to happen in the future. Someday. The problem with someday is it's not yet within reach. And what you got to learn is to focus on this today. 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 Why? Because we can receive today. That is when we're able to receive from God. Today. Amen. Somebody said this, yesterday is a memory, tomorrow's a mystery, today is our moment. I want to tell you something. I like that. Yesterday is a memory, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is my moment. Today. God's ready. Question is this, are you ready? So many times we have obstacles in the way. I'm talking about mental blocks. John Maxwell said this. He said, most people live within the self-imposed limitations of their own mind. And so we need to realize that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. I want to look at this incident with the Syrophoenician woman. This is perhaps one of my favorite. Well, it is one of the favorite. I'll say it this way. The favorite woman character in the Bible for me. And so I'm just really fascinated how this lady came to Jesus and got what she needed. And we'll look at that just for a little bit. Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28. And it says, behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And if you study this, you'll find out the setting that Jesus had left where he normally traveled in. And he went to Tyre and Sidon, which is up in the Lebanon area. And he went there. He drew apart. It seemed as if he was looking to get some rest. And Mark's gospel also has the account in it. And between the two, you can gather that they tried to keep it a secret. And it says that no man knew. But somehow this lady found out that Jesus was in the area. And you have to understand that the thought came to her, I don't know if Jesus will ever be in my area again. And so she came to Jesus. Now there's three things about this woman that caught Jesus' attention. Caught his attention. Now, I'm telling you these because if you do the same things, it'll catch his attention today. First of all, she came to Jesus. She didn't wait for him to come to her. She pursued. She pressed in. She had to get past the disciples. That's a major chore. Major issue right there. Sometimes they didn't discern who should come and who should be allowed in and who should not be. Jesus had to tell them which ones sometimes. But anyway, it took a little bit to get her to throw it into Jesus, but she came to Jesus. So she came to him. So many times people are too passive. They don't press in. They don't come where the anointing is that they know is flowing. And so they just said, well, I know God knows where I live. I know he knows where you live. But my friend, there is something about our pressing in and our coming to God in a determined way, expecting something from God, coming to him, us taking a step. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't wait for him to come to her house. She pressed through the crowd. She came to him. The Roman centurion came to him. So many times you see the Bible, incidents of people being ministered to by the Lord, people came. came to Jesus. And I have to tell you, there's a real secret in that. Sometimes you look at this and you'll find out that people did extraordinary things to get where they needed to be. You understand what I mean by that? They had to do a little extra. Pastor talked about that this morning. And so she came to him. She paid the price. She did whatever she had to get to Jesus. That impressed him. The next thing she did is she cried out to Jesus. She cried out to Jesus for help. She said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter, severely demon-possessed." So her crying out, how she cried out to him, caught his attention. She was not quiet about why she was there. She was so loud and so disruptive that the disciples finally said to Jesus, "Would you just send her away? She's causing problems." And so sometimes, I'm not asking you to disturb a service or anything like that. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying this, though. Don't be quiet before the Lord. Don't let silence defeat you. Lift your voice. Dare to ask God. Dare to read the scriptures to God, promising what you need. Say, "God, here it is. You've already written it. You've already spoken it. You've already had somebody write it down for me. Now I know it. Now I believe it. Now I'm speaking it. Now is the time." And so you have to realize, you have to cry out to God. There's a third thing that impressed Jesus, caught his attention. It was how she cared for her daughter. She paid whatever price she had to get help for her daughter. The love that she had for her daughter, the care and the compassion, the concern that she had for her daughter caught his attention. Because you see, the Father's heart beat inside Jesus. And I want to tell you something. God cares infinitely more for us than we could ever care for somebody else. God cares far more for us. Jesus understands when somebody expresses care for someone else. That impresses him. That same compassion, that same care that beats in the Father's heart, that impresses him, God, when he sees that. Do you care about others? I don't know about you. You know, Job's troubles were changed when he took his focus off of himself and he prayed for his friends. And here's something else. The Roman centurion came to him and, "Would you pray? Would you heal my servant?" Jesus said, "I'll come to your house." The servant said, "That's not necessary. Just speak the word. Just give the command. I'm familiar with that." And so Jesus did. And he talked about how great this Roman centurion's faith was. At the end, you'll see there, we read it already, Jesus said about the Syrophoenician woman, "Great is your faith." I don't know about you, but when I find somebody with little faith, that's okay if we study that. But somebody with great faith, that's what I want to focus on. I want my faith to be greater. And one of the things that can help you is to let the same care that beats in the Father's heart, ask him to get that in beating inside of you. Let that compassion overtake your heart. Let that care beat strongly inside of you for your fellow man and for those. This week it's just kind of been a sad week in the sense for me because of just watching the news. So many sad things, so many bad things that are happening. It's so sad, the plight of people, the mentality of people, the way the enemy has trapped people into thinking certain ways. And so we pray. It should drive us to pray if we care about our fellow man. And so these three things helped catch Jesus' attention. She came, she cried out, and she cared. Now, in response, Jesus looked for three things. If you read, we read the story, you notice Jesus did not immediately respond to her favorably. And the reason for that is not because he is hard-hearted, not because he's upset, not because he has taken a nap, not because he's on vacation, said, tried to get her to come back, make an appointment for next week. That's not what it was about. What was it? It's because he was looking for certain things. You know, when there's somebody that we love so much is having difficult things, times, going through difficult things, it's easy to get emotional about that. And one of the things that Jesus had to do was to determine whether this woman was just simply emotional or whether there was really the qualities necessary to receive from him. There's certain things he looks for. First of all, he looked to see if she would persevere, to see if she had the right attitude. Is she going to give up the first opportunity? You see what I'm saying? And I want to say something. God is not mean when he waits to see whether you're going to persevere or not. Because here's the thing. You need to know that about yourself. You need to learn that about yourself. Are you a person that gives up easily at the first, the first knock on the door, and nobody answers? Oh, I guess I'm so sorry I showed up. And you slink off of the porch, No, that's not it. No. We need to persevere. If we believe the word, we see it in the word, we know that God has promised it to us, let us persevere. Let us be persistent. Let us be consistent and have that attitude that as for me, I've settled it in my heart, I'm going to get this because Jesus bought and paid for it for me. Amen? Need an attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, get an attitude. Look at your other person on the other side and say, a right attitude. A right attitude. Amen. Another thing that Jesus looked for was to see if she had a right heart. And he gave her opportunity to be offended or not to be offended by some of the things he said. Let me tell you something. You have got to decide not to be offended. Why is that? Because as soon as you get offended, you're not in position to receive. Even if you're justified in being offended. Even if you feel justified. Say, I was treated unfairly. Let me tell you something. You have got to learn that God is more than enough. God is your source. Man may try to take it away. But God is still your source. He's still more than enough. Come on, gonna get an amen tonight. No matter what happens, God is enough. And you don't get offended because somebody takes it all. And good and well, some of it belonged to you. Don't get offended. Bless them instead. Bless them. Amen. Why? Because it'll keep your heart right. You got to have a right heart, free of offense and unforgiveness if you're going to receive from God. This is so important. Jesus checked her attitude. He checked her heart. And the last thing he did is that he checked what she believed. And how did he do that? He listened to see what she would say consistently, what she consistently said. If you look in the incident, you'll see that she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." The next thing she said is, "Lord, help me." And then the last thing she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She was consistently asking for help. She did not contradict. She was not speaking the word one moment, and then the next moment, she's giving up. She was not throwing a fit one moment and in faith the next moment. She consistently spoke great words of faith. And I'm going to tell you, that's a sign of great faith, is when you consistently speak words of faith. Peter walking on the water. And he sank. But nevertheless, he did walk on water. And Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." Now, I don't know about you, but walking on water has fascinated me. I've tried it a number of times. I found out in January is better than June. Easier. But I would have to tell you, Jesus said walking on water, believing you can walk on water takes little faith. Why? Why did he say that to Peter? But he said to the woman who simply asked for her daughter to be delivered, why, that she had great faith. The difference was that she was consistent and Peter was not consistent. Oh, my friend, listen to me. Ask God to help you be consistent. Say the word, if you would. Consistent. Steady. Stable. The same. I don't mean that you don't have a normal range of emotions. Understand that? I mean, if you get in an accident, there is some emotions, all right? But it doesn't mean that it has to overtake and rule your life. You understand what I mean by that? But you understand. Now listen. So he checked to see if she had a right attitude, a right heart, and the right beliefs. You know, you can have a right heart, but if you're not taught right, you can believe the wrong things and still not get what you need. You ever think about that? See, the reason Jesus looked for these things in this woman, he wanted her to have what she was asking for, but he had to find a way to get it to her. Because there's three reasons why she was not in line to receive. One, she was not an Israelite. She was a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite. They were traditional enemies of Israel. That meant that she had no covenant rights with God. What that means is that she had no legal grounds to ask anything from Jesus. She had no legal grounds to ask anything from Jesus. She had no covenant with God. She was a stranger to Israel, stranger to the promises of God. What's left? What other basis is there for that woman to receive? The only basis is faith. So Jesus had to do some things to look to see whether he could find faith in that woman. So don't think he was hard on her. He was just simply looking for the right things. Okay? And so here's the thing that I want you to get. So when the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, I said all of that to help you see this tonight, right here. This is the whole issue right here. When the woman came to Jesus, he responded in several ways to get through to the place where he would find faith and be able to give her what she asked for on that basis. At first, let me just say it this way. There were three types of answers that he gave her. One, the Bible says that the first time she asked, she got no word from him. So the first response she got was no word at all. He did not talk to her. He didn't even talk to her. Most people would give up when they're silent. Most people think, I've had people tell me this. Is God upset with me? I haven't heard a thing and it's been months since I'm asked him for it. No, my friend, don't let silence defeat you. Just because you have not heard from heaven does not mean that God is against you having what you ask for, as long as it's in line with his word. It may be that God is taking you through these steps so that he can find the right things so he can give you what you need. Based on the right reasons. Faith. We have to come to him in faith. Next, the next thing is, this is an interesting one, because he told her, she said, I was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, that meant, I'm not sent to you. And so the second response she got from him was a not qualified word from him. A not qualified. The first one was no word from him. The second one was not qualified. Not qualified. Have you ever applied for something and you came back and you're not qualified? I remember one time we had this department store that every time we went to buy something there, they had, they always said, you can save 10% if you'll fill this credit card app out. I said, sure. I had no credit whatsoever. I had no credit cards or anything. And so I filled it out, got the 10%, and sure enough, they rejected me every time. I got the not qualified letter every time. Well, lots of water has passed under the bridge since then, and I have a couple of credit cards that we take care of very well, and they have that same company has repeatedly sent me offers begging me to take one of their cards. And I have one answer for them. No. I have what I need. Amen. Because he said to her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came back and said, she said, Lord, help me. And he said, it's not good to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Now, I want to explain this just a little bit. The word dogs right there doesn't mean, it's not a derogatory term at all. It just simply means she was not qualified. Because that word that's used there, the Greek word that's used there, it's referred to the little pet lap dogs that they had at that time that would sit with them at the table. And when they would wipe their hands with bread, because they ate with their fingers at that time, and they'd wipe their hands with bread, and they'd throw the bread on the floor, and the little lap dogs would go down there and eat the crumbs. So it was great. He did not use, there's another word that describes the vicious street dogs, and he did not use that word in reference to her at all. It was actually a term of affection, if you study the Greek. And so she said this then. She said, yet the children or the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She still didn't give up. Even though he said, first he said, no word at all. Now he tells her, you're not qualified. And it amazed Jesus. Jesus, it really caught it. I mean, he found what he was looking for. I'm going to tell you something. When God finds what he's looking for, heaven opens up and it dumps out. Amen. And the answer comes forth. You see, the third response she got from him is this. She received a what I call a now word from God. Now word from God. He said, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now. Okay, now. You can have it. Why? I found faith. I found faith in you. So we see that. And I have to tell you, you have to learn to get past the no words, the silence that you hear from heaven. You have to get past the conditions that are there in the Word. You know, you can get to the place, if you just focus on the conditions, you can think you're not qualified. I got news for you tonight. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, but there's no need to stand afar from the throne of God for whatever it is you need. Why? Because Jesus qualified you to come and receive. Jesus qualified you. The thing is this, God knew you were not qualified. But Jesus qualified you. He pre-qualified you by what he did at the cross for you to come to the presence of God, into the throne room of God, to receive what it is that you need. Years ago, I mean, when I was a kid, I grew up with fears. Had so many fears, afraid of the dark, you know. We had to go out and turn out the horses after dinner, and it was dark. And so we'd slide out there, and there was this dark barn door. You know what I'm saying? And had this bottom, it was a Dutch door kind of thing where the top half was open and the bottom half was shut. But I was smart enough. And when I went out in the dark, they had told me, just whistle, that'll help you to be brave. But I was smart enough, I figured out if I whistled, that whoever's out there would know I was there. So I didn't whistle. And I was smart enough not to come up to that barn door, you know, and just stand right in front of it. I slid up, right beside the barn. I reached over there, and I just waited. Because I knew they thought I was going to come right in, and they're going to get me. And so I just waited, and I stood there, and I waited. And all of a sudden, when I figured they were least expecting it, I'd flip that door open. And I didn't. I just stood there. I did not move it. I knew that they thought that as soon as the door opens, that I'm going to come right in and they're going to get me. So I just stood there. And finally, when I thought they were going to give up, I jumped through the door. You know how many times I've found somebody in there? Never. Fear will make you believe certain things. Now listen, I struggled with fears all growing up. Even as an adult, I struggled with fears. As a Rhema student, as a Rhema graduate, fear just clung to me like a little dog, followed me around everywhere. Until one day, I understood that now was the time, and that the scriptures that have already been written are sufficient to deliver me from any fears that I have. And that was the day that I accepted my deliverance. My deliverance dawned that day in my life. Have I been challenged with fears since then? Oh, I've had opportunities to be afraid. But you know, I learned you face your fears. You go check it out. You don't feel like it, but you do it. But you know what? I've never found any of my fears to be true. Never one time have I ever found my fears to be true. Because I've accepted my deliverance, I'm able to walk free. And I don't have fear hounding me anymore. Once in a while, a situation comes up and it wants to knock on my door. But I don't let that in. We don't let that in. Amen? Because today is the day. Now is the time. I understand that now is the time. What is it that you need to receive? Listen to me. You may be dealing with some things that are, and I sense this in my spirit, that you have some, there are several people here tonight that you are dealing with some very serious health issues. And I want to tell you something. Don't wait for someday for God to do something. Decide that today, now, today is as good a day as any. Receive. Use your faith and say, I'm receiving my healing right now in Jesus' name. Today is the day. Today is the day of God's, that God will hear me. Today is the day God will help me. This is the acceptable time. It's acceptable for me to come into the presence of God and to receive right now. Would you slip up your hands and just thank God right where you are right now. Just where you are. And just begin to thank God that you've received in this acceptable time what it is that you need, what it is that you've been believing for, and that you're no longer wondering, when is it going to happen? No, my friend, just reach up and receive it by faith and just begin praising God, saying, I believe I've received. I thank you that today is the day I have received from you. I want to praise you for it. Thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet? I trust you got a little bit of something out of that tonight. Amen. And oftentimes we have to tune up our faith. What does that mean? I just have to make a slight adjustment. You know, on the carburetor, you don't get a new carburetor every time the car doesn't run right. You just adjust the carburetor a little bit. Well, now they got fuel injection systems, you know. You do something else, but, you know, if you got a real... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I should have... Anyway... But you understand, you don't throw the car away and get a new one just because it doesn't run right. What do? You take it someplace and get it tuned up. That's what you got to do with your faith most of the time. It's not that you don't have bad faith. It's not that you have bad faith. It's just that your faith needs to be tuned up a little bit. Just tweaked a little bit. Amen? Sometimes, many times, I've found Christians just have to go from someday to today. Today. Now. 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 Get used to the idea. Now. I can have it today. I believe I'm free from fear today. I believe I'm healed today. I believe my lack is gone and I'm receiving prosperity and provision today. I'm not waiting to be safe. I believe I'm safe in the arms of Jesus right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands up and thank Him one more time. You know, God is so good. God is so willing. He's so generous. Let's just thank Him right now. We're receiving. We're a receiving people. Amen. We walk out of here happy and joyful. Why? We receive. The Bible says, ask that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. So we do receive. We do thank you, Father. Magnify your name. You are worthy, Lord, to be praised. We honor you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You say, well, what do I do now? Keep praising God. Keep thanking God that you received. If you believed you received, then you just keep thanking God. Things will change. Things will change in your life as you keep doing that consistently. Remember, consistently speaking words of faith. Even when it doesn't look like it's happening, God is already working on it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Tonight we have these ladies over here and the men over here. And if you need prayer for anything, have prayer needs, then the ladies, you can come over here to these ladies. And men, you can come over to these men. And so that'll be right there for you. And they're ready to help you. It's an acceptable time to come to them and get prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Connection team, if you would find those people that are here for the very first time, let's give them a great big hand again as for coming. And we want to, we bless you. And as you, if you that are first-time guests come, will follow those connection team people, they'll help you to get that gift that's been given to you and prepared for you, and they'll get that for you, and you can have that as our way of saying thank you. And we invite you to come back. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, you're invited back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, Pastor will be right here, Hour of Power. It'll be great. It'll be good. The pastor's been giving some really good teaching and instructions on Wednesday nights. It's just really beneficial. Really, I call it a midweek power boost. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you need a midweek power boost? Amen. Glory to God. And so just come get your power boost. Don't buy an energy drink. Come get this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Shake hands again with somebody. Fellowship with somebody. Let them know that you love them and you're dismissed.